I think what happens is you need to take the lead role in your own life. So a lot of us, especially women, play the supporting roles. Like you mentioned, right, Imani, that we are daughter to someone, we are sister to someone, we are parents, we are mothers as well, and many of us work as well, right? So we have so many multiple roles we are fitting between. So always remember that while, yes, sometimes the supporting role is also important, in the long run, I think women and mothers really should take a lead role in their own life. And once you do that, once you have a larger purpose in your own life, automatically everything falls into place because you start prioritizing. So asking for help, getting the right ecosystem in place, telling yourself it's okay to prioritize yourself, it's not selfish. Okay, it's not selfish to play the lead role in your life. There are so many amazing things that you're capable of. And this is a shout out to a lot of the moms who are not following their dreams, who have, restricted themselves because of their responsibilities. Get out there, figure it out. Somebody will support you, and you are going to have a good, happy, productive career as well as motherhood experience is what I can say.
Hi, welcome to Partners in Upbringing. I'm Kalyani.
I'm Himani.
And we are parents just like you.
Always on a lookout. So come join us in our endeavor as we connect with parenting experts and fellow inspiring parents to know the best practices for raising happy and confident children.
Visit partnersinupbringing.com for podcasts, videos, blogs, and to connect with experts. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Partners in Upbringing.
You can listen to us on your favorite podcasting app, Partners in Upbringing, your trusted partner in your parenting journey.
Welcome to the 51st episode on Partners in Upbringing. Wish you all a very happy Mother's Day. Hope you are having a wonderful time with your children and the mother figures in your life. On this special occasion, we have with us a very inspiring mother who has discovered her way to keep the fine balance of being a mother to three children and a sales leader in the demanding fintech sector, as well as a mentor to the young generation. She has inspired many women in her industry and has been often asked, how does she manage all these roles so beautifully with a smile on her face and stay positive?
With moving countries, being a trailing wife, bringing up three kids, coming back to work after a long sabbatical of almost 10 years, her journey has been full of ups and downs. But her belief in I play the lead role in my life has given her the courage to take charge of her life, got her back in the game, and made her the achiever she is today while raising independent children. In this episode, she has shared tools for mothers who are looking to join work after sabbatical, trying to climb up the corporate ladder, hesitant to take higher responsibility roles, young women who aspire to be mothers one day, and for women who are overwhelmed with the many roles they play, especially after having a baby.
In this conversation, we have spoken about keeping mommy guilt at bay, how to set boundaries and right expectations at work, making children independent and accountable for their own actions, the power of gratitude writing and journaling, goal setting, power of affirmations and manifestations, how to be relevant while on a sabbatical, and thriving on a strong partnership with your spouse and growing together.
So please do listen to this episode until the end. We are sure you'll be left inspired and get many takeaways to practice. And if you like it, please give us a 5-star rating on the app you're listening to or drop us a review and share it with your friends.
I'm pleased to welcome the pragmatic, ambitious, strong lady, Madhulika Sanghvi, the Deputy Vice President, Business Development with a leading fintech company. Hi, Madhulika. Welcome to Partners in Upbringing.
Hi, Madhulika.
Hi, Kalyani. Hi, Himani. It's wonderful to be here today.
Thank you so much for joining us.
Yes, absolutely. So, Madhulika, being a mother to three children and an achiever on the professional front, I'm sure it must have been a tremendous journey for you. Can you please share your struggles, your dilemma that you went through to be where you are today?
So wow, Himani and Kalyani, that's indeed a deep question. So it was a journey for me that was so amazing and frustrating at the same time, right? When you're used to working full time and you know, carving a niche for yourself, bringing in an economic multiplier, leading teams, it was tough. It was tough because with children, you really can't predict too much. No matter how planned you are, your day can generally be a whirlwind, right? I think both of you would know that as well. So yes. So the ups and downs, the struggles have been there, but the learnings and the happiness gained from that entire journey, the experience has been phenomenal. So to an extent, I don't really regret, you know, having taken a break from full-time career. There is a part of me which questions myself. I could have done both, right? I could have done both. And that's where I kind of struggled with myself is, could I have done things a little differently and managed both together? But, you know, it's never too late. And I think my journey in and my career has just restarted about 6 years back. So to be honest, I'm very happy about that and happy to be back in the game.
That's wonderful. Madhulika, but when you decided to go from a part-time role or after your break to join a full-time job, the biggest challenge that most of us mothers face is how to prove yourself, how to get a good position. So what was your experience at that time?
My first thought was, you know, just start with what you get, okay? Mm-hmm. Start with what you get and keep in touch. In my case, the break was pretty long. It was almost 10 years from the industry. So I come from a financial services industry where I have always been leading institutional sales teams. It had a certain impact on the top line and the bottom line of the companies wherever I worked, right? So it is a very important and responsible role to play. Okay, so the level of seriousness there and the knowledge that you need to upgrade yourself, your skills, mm-hmm. your knowledge about the industry, your output has to be really strong. Otherwise, you won't be taken seriously. So with a long mm-hmm. break of about 10 odd years from the industry, right, that was my biggest challenge. How do I get back and gain mm-hmm. back the same knowledge I used to present earlier, the same confidence I used to present earlier after this longer break? So while I was happy taking up what came my way, so I had to restart my career. I restarted as a manager, a large brand recognized name. And that itself helped a lot, right? So I started, I studied, I read, I questioned, but I was still very shy at that point in time. Okay, so I was not ready to take a leap, at least for the first year or two. So that's a little bit of the initial part of, you know, re-kickstarting my career. And it was difficult because that was the first time I was away from home for long hours. The children were still very young at that point in time. And it was a new environment for them. So I had to ensure I was there for them as well. So yes, it was challenging, but with the help of family and, you know, hired help as well, we kind of got through those years. We got through those years. I had to ensure that the weekends were completely for the kids. So my weekends mm-hmm. would be dedicated to the children. And I always believe it's not about the amount of time you spend with them, but the depth of the time that you spend with them. So you could be spending shorter hours mm-hmm. and being away from them is difficult, very difficult. But at the same time, you got to look at your own development as well, right? So it has to be balanced in that entire sense. It was a bit bittersweet, but we got through it.
Yeah.
That's true. Especially on weekdays, working parents maybe get just around an hour or so to spend with the children. So it is tough. And what you said does make a lot of sense and relief. And that is something which so many of us hang on to, that the depth of the interactions, the truthfulness of those moments is more important than the amount of time.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You know, just one hug from your kids, or you just go and just hug them and sit nicely with them for even 15 minutes. And I think that to them is special, right? Rather than you just hanging around with them for hours and you might not really be engaging deeply, is what I'm saying.
True. You just said that it was bittersweet and completely understand what that means. Madhulika, you had mentioned about you were on a long break, but then getting back like 10 years a lot changes, you know. The network that you have, the office place, people are not the same. So you can't just pick up from where you left. So how do you manage that?
That's actually a very pertinent question, Himani. And I think a lot of women coming back from motherhood to work, sometimes even after a short break, not even a long break, right? We question ourselves, like, how will we fit in? How will we prove ourselves? How will we first get back into the system, right? How do you get a job again? So if you don't have anything, you know, pre-discussed with your existing firm previously where you were working, right? And you're looking out for a new firm to join. I think most importantly, you need to stay in touch with your personal and professional network. Don't cut ties. Mm. Be in touch. Upgrade yourself about your industry by reading. Listen to podcasts. Watch videos. You know, follow people on LinkedIn and see what are the new things happening, how the industry has particularly changed, how the environment has changed over those many years, right? So do stay in touch. Don't let it go completely. Even if you, initially you might feel you might not even want to get back to work, right? That's the initial feeling we get when we are in the role of early parenting. Keep right. in touch. Keep your network on. For me, the biggest plus point was my network. So I got back into a role because I had the right people to reach out to. They were willing to keep an open mind in receiving me into, you know, this particular role. So that's what helps. So keep yourself updated. Practice your communication, right? Don't let go, because the way we communicate in a professional environment is very, could be sometimes a little different from how we communicate in the personal environment. Mm-hmm. So ensure you keep yourself up there to some extent. So jumping back into a role and being accepted credibly, keep your communication strong, be aware of what is happening and keep your network on. So my advice would be these three key things, and walk in with an open mind. Don't set high standards where you expect, so if, especially if you're coming back after a long break, don't set high expectations and I need to get back where I was earlier. If you need to take a step back, start at a lower level, do it. But if you're good at your work, you will catch up. So keep an open mind is also one more advice I will give to especially mothers who are coming back to work.
Right. No, those are really good tips, especially the keeping your network alive. That just increases your chances to get accepted, like you said. Yeah, so thank you for that. What I want to know, that did your children, you know, said something, or you had a moment where you were speechless, you were not able to get back to them with a valid answer, and you went on a solid guilt trip, you know, like you felt horrible about work. Did you ever have such moments?
Yes, I think a lot of mothers do go through that. And, you know, had my kids asked me something when they were really young, right, 2, 3, 4. Maybe in the earlier part of my motherhood days, if they questioned my presence around them, I would have been impacted. But thankfully, the way we have raised our kids is to be independent. And yes, I've had those one odd times when the youngest would come and say that, why do you need to go to office? Why can't you stay with me? But I never really felt terribly guilty, because I knew that what I was doing was the best for them. So financially, we were providing a cushion for them. You know, when both parents work, you're creating a future for yourself financially. That's one very important thing. And for us, having three children, our purpose was very clear that we need to be financially secure for their future. Right. So I knew that I was working for the right reasons. So one of the reasons for me to work, obviously, financial security. The second being, each of us has to be our own individual. So we are teaching our kids that. So if the parents are working, it's not because we as parents also need to, explore our own creativity. We need to add value to this world outside as well. Okay. So not just as purposeful parents, there has to be some role that you play in the outside world as well, not just at home, is what I strongly believe. And that's what my partner and my spouse also strongly believes, right? So if we would get these kind of questions, the way we would handle it is, we need to be out for these reasons. I would divert it to, okay, let's see how we can spend better time together, right? Okay, let's play a game. Let's do this. Okay, where do you want to go out on the weekend? Let's have a meal together. So I think these questions can be easily handled by giving the right purpose rather than by feeling guilty. And I would urge a lot of parents out there, try and balance out your time. Set the expectations at work as well. Many of us, what we do is because we are dealing in the profession or we are operating in the professional world, we kind of don't know how to set boundaries there. We don't say our no.
Especially when you've just started and you want to prove yourself.
Absolutely. So choosing your workplace becomes very, very critical, crucial. Your choices really shape what your relationship or your balance with your kids is going or your family is going to be. So when you choose a job, you might not have those many choices, especially for returning moms. But try to choose carefully. Try to choose an environment that is psychologically safe for you, that encourages working parents, working mothers. You know, the organization that you join should encourage a culture of balance of work and life, personal life. When you go for your interview, you also need to set your expectations to that extent. That probably something like I'm raising future leaders. I will put in my best at work, but I also need to be there at home. So you need to figure it out at first step when you are sitting with your interviewer, with HR, or with your future potential manager as well. So be very, very clear with expectation setting in the very beginning itself is what I would say.
There have been so many stories wherein mothers are not given due promotion or they are unable to grow because sometimes it's even assumed by their managers that, oh, she has a small kid to look after too and she might not be able to stretch for the company. So how has been your experience out there? Would you like to share some tips?
Absolutely. Absolutely. So this is a juggle. It's a daily juggle and a struggle sometimes as well, right? And especially in leadership roles, what happens is you got to show up for your team. But like I said, setting those expectations and, a balance, what I would say is don't try to achieve a daily balance. It might not happen. There will be days when you need to stretch yourself at work. You might need to put in those extra couple of hours, okay? And there will be days when you can take a step back, leave office early and be home much more earlier or spend more time with the kids, right? Or with your family. Or even for your own self, right? Sometimes you need to unwind for your own self. So it's not just about everybody else in your ecosystem. It's also, you got to give yourself a little bit of time to unwind, to regroup your thoughts, to rest, recover as well, right? So it's a bit of everything that you need to squeeze into your daily schedule. So I would say what I do is I put in, there will be extended days in which I put in a lot of work and there will be some days, like 4 or 5 days when I take it a little more easy, right? And you can actually plan your schedule around that. So the first thing I was asked when I joined my new role here in this company last year was, your role will require you to travel. But in case family commitments don't allow you to do that at any particular time, right? That's fine. We'll figure it out. So this is what we need from organizations. A little bit of flexibility and not just for mothers, for fathers as well. Okay, because more and more fathers today are getting engaged in their families. Unlike roles used to be very, very specific, and rigidly drawn out. But I think people are changing and both mothers and fathers are able to kind of do both. Follow a career path as well as be around for your family and raise them well. So I think it's up to you how you curate that time. If a meeting comes up, okay, unexpectedly, this is where I always say you've got to have your ecosystem in place. Don't be the only person responsible for raising your kids or looking after your home. Okay. So if you got to have help. If you want to grow in your career, you need to have someone as a backup. When you have someone reliable, it takes away a lot of your stress and concerns. You know that things are being taken care of. And you can focus on what you really need to be focusing on for those 8-10 hours at work.
Right, absolutely. I mean, you just mentioned about the ecosystem, right? Especially in a nuclear family setup today, we are all so scattered and away from our extended families. So can you share some tips or with parents on how to build their ecosystem? Something that I can think of is ask for help without hesitation. It's okay to ask for help, stuff like that. So can you give us a couple of tips on that?
And sometimes we as parents don't trust others with our kids as well.
Absolutely. No, I agree with you. I mean, this is a common concern. And having a trustworthy ecosystem is extremely important. In case you're hiring someone, a nanny or, you know, someone to look after your home, right? Interview people and try to get them through a reference if possible. I have always hired through reference. And also, you know, there are ways and means where you build that trust with the person. That's number one. If you don't have extended family around you, then you can set up a give or take with a good friend. Okay, so maybe a neighbor, yeah, who's willing to help you out. But asking is important. And there will be times when you need to help them out as well. Okay, so support each other. But you need to take steps. My tip would be take steps to build a trustworthy relationship with the caregiver. That's very important. And if you don't want to leave your child alone at home with a caregiver, if that still concerns you and or you're not able to identify the right person, then I would say try babysitting, because that's a more, more controlled environment. There are other children and you have a proper system in place. But somewhere you'll have to stretch yourself, right? You'll have to spend a little bit more and you will have to have the trust in the system and the people. You have to let go a little bit as well.
Absolutely. You said that. Letting go. Because today we are so like control freaks and you have to learn to trust a little bit. So yeah, you said that letting go is such a huge tip. Like, thank you for that.
So there's another point which I wanted to add. Like I mentioned previously as well, get some flexibility from your workplace. And I think this applies to both parents, not just, so your spouse, your partner. Both of you have to figure out some flexibility from work, okay? We still have that open-mindedness to, you know, probably work from home a few days a week. So this is one more thing I wanted to mention, for full-time working parents.
You had mentioned that, you know, you're raising your children that way to be independent, you know, and to normalize that both the parents are working, whereas, you know, they may have friends whose mother is at home, she's attending to them full time. But at the same time, your child understands that my mother's working and this is what it is for me. So can you tell us how did you explain this to your children? How did you bring this to normalcy that both of us are going to be working, our jobs are demanding, and this is what we will be able to do together? So how did you manage that?
Great question. So it's been a learning journey for me as well. I'll be completely honest with you. When I was home full-time with my children, right? I dropped them, picked them, be there for every school engagement, be there for every PTM. I would just be there for everything, right? And there would be working parents who couldn't turn up very often. And I think I've been guilty of being that judging mom who used to think, how do they not turn up? And why, right? And as time passed, when, you know, I started prioritizing myself also and the overall well-being of the family because of my job, you know, it brings a lot of overall well-being if you're working. The woman is happy, the mother is happy because, you know, you're kind of not just, you have a purpose in life other than your children as well. So your children are also a part of your purpose, but you have other, a larger purpose as well to pursue in this one life of yours, right? So I started changing my mindset. I started changing my mindset when I slowly got back into work. And I chided myself, how could you think like that, you know? Everybody's priorities are different. And it doesn't mean that they're not giving enough attention to their children just because they're not turning up at school. So that was wrong on my part. And I honestly audited my thought process and said, you know, to each their own, you do the best that you can as a parent. And what I realized is the deeper the conversations, sometimes we feel our kid is only 2 years, our kid is only 3 years. What would they understand if we spoke about career to them? But it's just amazing how much they can grasp at a very young age. So I think we should start having deep conversations with our children early on. It builds with them. It builds with them. They should not feel insecure at any point in time that when we need our parents, they are not around, right? So you got to do the balancing act. You got to speak to them and with the expectation that over a period of time, they will understand. They will understand. And they do understand. So one of the things that our kids are going to face in the future is, this is a VUCA world. It's going to be a very different world from what you and I have, you know, seen while growing up, right? The challenges, the dangers, you got to be agile in this world. Children have to adapt very quickly. They have to be creative. They have to be out of the box thinkers, right? So there are some things, small things that they need to start dealing with, like separation anxiety. A lot of children do have that when parents go to work, right? So I think bit by bit, if children are exposed to a normal way of living, not having a parent constantly being there with them, then relying on their friends, having a good, healthy circle, a friend circle to play with, you know, all these things will build on their persona. So by, you know, by not turning up every time, you got to set the expectation. So let's say what I do is, if there are certain things planned by school where the parents need to be there, I'll probably attend 4 of them and I will skip 2 of them. Okay. And when I skip 2 of them, and if it's in the odd hour of the day at 11 o'clock where I'll be at work, I set the expectation with my child that it won't be possible for me to make it. I'll be all the way in office. And I think just manage and just, I'll just ask some of the parents to send me the video so I can definitely see what you did. And we'll talk about it when I get back. And this works really well. Okay. So talk to your children. Talk to your children. Don't think they're too young. They are able to grasp a lot of things at young age, and just keep the conversation open, because when you keep conversations open with your children, they feel secure as well. And they understand that you also have your responsibilities other than them. You got to live up to those responsibilities as well. And what are the benefits of you going to work as well? So they need to understand, what is the purpose behind that, like I said before as well. So I think this has helped a lot with my children. Talk to them. So that's my first tip. Keep your conversation lines open with them. Spend a lot of time with them on the weekends and maybe end of the day. Be around them and make them feel secure.
Yes. Another interesting point which you made, Madhulika, was, of course, we have to create our own ecosystem, but make the child a part of it. Empower him. Let him know that, okay, if I'm not coming for your dance performance, this friend of mine is recording it for me. So they know that you are there in a way. And it's like completing the loop.
So Madhulika, managing all this is, of course, you're working on your children. You're working on with your husband on that relationship. You know, coming to a consensus that, you know, we have to do this together. And it's a need of the family and all of that. But apart from the economical, you know, aspect of being independent and contributing to the household income, what was that thing that, you know, pushed you? Because you have 3 kids and you've managed to be where you are today. So what was the driving factor, you know, for you, apart from the financial aspect?
So to be honest, it started with that, because, you know, post moving back from overseas to Mumbai, I was looking for a way to get back to earning some money. Okay. I was missing that aspect of my life. And I was looking for some more financial independence of my own. Not that I didn't have enough support. I did. But it's a very individualistic thing, right? Where you want to just kind of be independent and, you know, have that source of income as well. It started with that, but it very quickly changed to something else, right? Something much larger. So I was constantly questioning myself. And, you know, I think me being the mother of 3 children and working in a corporate, turned out it didn't raise questions. People were really inspired by it for some reason. I used to have people coming up to me, and I still have people coming up to me and ask, how do you do it? Right? And I think a lot of people have done this. I'm not the only one. I mean, there are so many inspirational women out there globally, and you know, so many inspirational men and women, I would say, who have raised more than 3 kids and have had successful careers as well, right? So to me, the first driving force was obviously financial independence. But today I realize over the last few years that I want to add value and purpose in this world. I want to inspire people. I want to inspire people that anything is possible. Don't restrict yourself. And women by nature, right, they always are the first to take a step back to look after the family. This is the way we are. We are nurturing, you know, via inherent nature, right? So if sacrifices have to be made, if cities are being moved, I think a lot of women just kind of give up on their dreams first to ensure that the family is stable first. Then they think about themselves later, right? So for me, it just grew as a journey. Things started happening. My thought process started growing. I wanted to add value to people. And I feel women really need to work. Okay. Women are bringing so much more to the countries rather than just parenting. So they are helping with the future, supporting future leaders. Adding value to yourself as well is very, very important. But more importantly, as you add value to yourself, you need to add value to the community as well. So we are built for a larger purpose today, is what I feel. For me, the reason to work today has gone to a different level of purpose. And that's something I do share with my kids quite openly. And I think they feel proud of me. So recently, I was in a panel discussion at work. And my daughter happened to see that video. And she came and told me, "Mom, I'm so proud of you." And I was actually emotional when I kind of heard you speak on stage and, the content that you were speaking, right? So this is the best validation you can get from your children because you also become a role model for them.
Right. You're also telling them or actually teaching them to prioritize themselves.
So yes, you're right. And, I always say somebody had asked me this question recently that how do you take the pressure off work and home? Okay, because you see, at home, you're weaved in emotionally. You might be able to, balance your emotions at work very, very well because you have to be professional, right? So, but at home, sometimes our responses are not favorable after a long, tired day, correct? If that happens, go and hug your child, and be okay to apologize. I'm so sorry that this happened today. I was upset about something or I was really tired and, and then you just give them that special time for 10 minutes. So they also realize that there are ups and downs in life. Life is not perfect. Our parents are really working hard for something. And it's all right to be down sometimes. Okay. So again, it comes down to communication with your children. Be very, very honest with them. While we don't want to dump reality on them at a very young age, but small things like, feelings and, the ups and downs of hard work, things don't come easily. So these things, if they learn at a young age and they grow with these values, it really helps a lot to have that balanced outlook. That's number one. The second thing is teach your kids to be accountable. If we are constantly going to hover around them, they'll never learn on their own. Okay. So even if you are a stay-at-home mom, you should get away at times. So your child gets that space and freedom to explore themselves. It's very important. So give them a safe environment. But it's very important for them to learn their own selves as well. So accountability comes from that independence somewhere. And over a period of time, once we teach kids to be accountable for their own actions, we are building a future for them. Let them take their own decisions. So sometimes even if they're wrong in taking those decisions, you just be supportive to them and they will figure it out because that's what will build them towards a strong adulthood as well.
This is about parenting, but you are playing multiple roles, right? And you're
Correct.
Juggling between your work, you being a wife, being a friend, being a mother, being a daughter to your parents. And you have responsibilities towards all of them because this is your ecosystem, right?
Sure.
How do you keep your sanity amongst all these expectations and how do you manage that?
Absolutely. So I used to struggle a lot. And I would be quite dependent on the mood of my kids or, the external moods of the day. And that used to impact me a lot. But a couple of years back, I was introduced to journaling and gratitude writing. And I think, at the end of the day, we need to be centered to be happy. You've got to be in connect with yourself and then everything falls into place. It could be, a tough role at work, or it could be a tough role at parenting as well, right? So, or the different roles that you mentioned, we play so many different roles in our lives today, correct? So, journaling and gratitude writing on a daily basis helped me a lot. So, I just ordered a gratitude book from, Amazon, I think, and I started writing during COVID. During COVID, I started writing and I started doing yoga and I started doing breathing and meditation. And within a week, I think I won't say the results are instantaneous, but within a week or two, I started seeing the difference in my own mindset, my own calmness, and my attitude towards external shifts. we get impacted by external shifts. Things are changing all the time, right? Right? And so an unexpected problem could come up at work. And you're not ready to deal with it. You're not prepared. You're shocked and you're just figuring that out. How do I do that? Your child throws a tantrum. You don't know how to deal with it. Your child throws a tantrum when a meeting is going on in the background. That's tough. Okay. So how do you deal with all this? You got to be in touch with yourself. So gratitude writing helped me a lot because I started realizing all the amazing things I'm blessed with. And each of us is blessed with something great today. We might often complain that I don't have this and, you know, I have such a disturbed life or I have too many responsibilities. How am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with that? Right? So gratitude centers you. If you write down even something simple as I have food on my table today. I have a wonderful family. I have great support at home. I'm educated. My parents educated me. I'm a postgraduate. So whatever you are grateful for, okay, look at your strengths. Look at your superpowers. What are you good at? Okay. So these are the things you need to write down and you start establishing and reiterating your own self. Because during parenting, I think a lot of parents lose themselves, their own identity, because it's all about your kids. You love them so much that you kind of put yourself aside and you want to give them the best possible, right? So your time, your efforts, you know, maybe even financially you want to give them the best possible as parents. So it's time to center yourself and that's where gratitude comes into play. Journaling helps as well. So when you extend yourself beyond gratitude, on a daily basis, write down your deepest thoughts, write down your aspirations. If you feel you're going wrong somewhere, acknowledge that by writing it down. And then think about how you can change it. Okay? So let's say your response to your child is not being that great. Okay? And you need to take a step back and think that how can I change this? And the minute you take that mindset shift by writing it down in a journal, and you could repeat it on a regular basis, right? Daily, weekly, or whatever. I would suggest if you're starting journaling, do it daily. Okay? It really helps. So your mindset shift drives you towards a better input and output as well. So definitely journaling and gratitude writing is a must do, I think, for everyone. Obviously yoga meditation helps a lot because it helps balance you, it helps centers you in this VUCA and noisy world. The world is noisy today. So to center yourself, to balance yourself is one of the secrets, I would say, to balancing the great career as well as motherhood. One thing I would like to add here is, at the end of the day, we all want to be happy, right? Whatever we are doing. Okay. So when I talk about centeredness, I'm not talking of selfishness. I think what happens is you need to take the lead role in your own life. So a lot of us, especially women, play the supporting roles. Like you mentioned, right, Imani, that we are daughter to someone, we are sister to someone, we are parents, we are mothers as well, and we... many of us work as well, right? So we have so many multiple roles we are fitting between. So always remember that while, yes, sometimes the supporting role is also important, in the long run, I think women and mothers really should take a lead role in their own life. And once you do that, once you have a larger purpose in your own life, automatically everything falls into place because you start prioritizing. So asking for help, getting the right ecosystem in place, telling yourself it's okay to prioritize yourself, it's not selfish. Okay, it's not selfish. To play the lead role in your life, there are so many amazing things that you're capable of. And this is a shout out to a lot of the moms who are not following their dreams, who have, you know, restricted themselves because of their responsibilities. Get out there, figure it out. Somebody will support you and you are going to have a good, happy, productive career as well as motherhood experience is what I can say.
I think that's awesome. And you had early on in the conversation had mentioned about the confidence that the woman gets when she gets back on her feet. So just adding that particular thing in the list that you've shared. So thank you. That kind of summarizes. And what I love the most is the you are the hero of your own story kind of a message. That it's a very strong message, and I think it's a very needed message, because once you have children and family, you automatically, you know, go into this whole thought process of it's my family and I'm accountable for this. I'm responsible for their well-being and that's what I'm supposed to do. Nature has given me this role, sure. You know. So I think it's a great perspective to have. Thank you for this. Madhulika, today we see that there is equality in the role of, you know, for both the parents, and it's not mother, it's parents. When you started, so what kind of a equation or understanding did you have with your partner?
So funny enough, one of the roles that I play is also mentoring, and I am working with a mentee, an engineering student. She's a teenager, so she's about 19, and we have a bi-monthly session. My role is to mentor her, to support her, and to ensure that her growth mindset and her will to achieve in life, continues. And this is one of the things we were discussing, right? So I was telling her just very recently, your choice of partner is one of the most important decisions you're going to make in your life. Okay. Mm-hmm. So I think these conversations have to be had early on, and not everyone is going to have that early on, strong communication with their partner or their spouse. Sometimes it takes time to build, and I think it's a journey, and that's what makes it more beautiful, right? So I think for me, I was selective in choosing the right mindset. We have grown together. We have supported each other. I think we go beyond the word support now. There was a 10-year period when we were playing our own specific roles. Okay. So when you're playing your own specific roles, things are different. But the minute I jumped back to work, I think my biggest support and encouragement came from my husband. Okay, so when I have been making, when I look at making difficult decisions, so from my first role, post rejoining, which was a very comfortable, good quality role, I mean, in a good brand, but I was getting a jump up to a much more challenging leadership role, and a couple of levels above. Okay, so I got that offer, and I was questioning myself at that point in time, how will I balance my family if I join this new role? How will I extend my time? How will I manage it? And I almost gave up. And I went and told the new company that I won't be joining you. So this is when my husband told me that just go for it. If you don't take calculated risks in your life, you will not reap the rewards. So I think, this is the kind of partner you need. And it's the successful women that you look around you today. Many of them also thrive on a great, strong partnership. So I think, you need to make strong conversations. So have a very strong communication line again with your spouse. A, choose very carefully. Okay. Be sure you're on the same plane from the beginning, at least in terms of the major things that matter to you. And grow along with each other. So in any relationship, you'll always find that one person could grow at a certain phase much faster than the other. And there will be another phase when the other person grows. Right, might not always be hand in hand. So that's where differences come. So over a period of time, work together with each other and try to grow together is what I would say. So get the buy-in and move forward with a growth mindset.
Do you somewhere feel that earning equally or earning does make a difference in the couple's relationship? That the other person starts to take you seriously, or have you experienced any of that?
Yes, it does make a difference, I would say. It might not be true for everyone, but I think for both of us, me and my husband, this is true. If he succeeds and he's successful and he's earning well and adding great value to himself, his family and his career, it makes me proud. And I think the same applies to me. If I'm doing very well, it makes him proud. So the equation does change. It does change.
And I think that also happens because when we are growing up as girls, we're always being nurtured to have a career, be successful, earn. And if we take a break from motherhood and not earning, somewhere at the back of our mind, it hurts us and does hamper our confidence. Though our partner may or may not see it that way. So it is. Yeah. It sometimes might add a block to our own thinking. And if, as you said, taking up a full-time job or earning helps us overcome, then we might as well take that step. Though it might not be necessary for everybody.
Obviously, it makes you your own individual as well to a large extent, and you have that control over your own decisions, right? When you're financially independent,
yes,
you have control over your own decisions to some extent. So obviously, it does help. I would agree with you on that.
Yes, Madhulika, just going back to the point of gratitude writing, you also had mentioned about goal setting. So can you just elaborate on that?
Sure, I'd be happy to do that. So goal setting is something I myself realized a few years back.
Sure, Kalyani. So, you know, I was one of those people who would just go along with life and be happy with the way things are progressing, you know, go with the flow type of a thing. And over a period, I realized that, you know, it really doesn't work because you need to have some sort of goals in your mind for your future, right? And that makes you more focused in what you want to achieve. It could be a personal goal or it could be professional goals as well, or health goals for that matter. So many different types of goals you can set for yourself. So about a year, year and a half back, I started setting goals for myself, you know, along with journaling and gratitude writing. So that started helping me a lot. And, you know, goal setting is actually kind of an art. But the beauty about it is you can, you know, shift it according to what you aspire for yourself. It doesn't have to be perfect in a certain way that other people are doing it. It has to be true to yourself. Your goals have to be true to yourself. So there are two types of goals, I would say, that one needs to look at. One are the long-term goals, which are very, very crucial in your life. And then the short-term goals. But what I've learned over a period of time through experience and, you know, extensive goal writing is that once you set your long-term goals, the short-term goals automatically fall into place. So let's say you have a long-term goal for your career where you say in the next 3 years, I'm going to, you know, be in a certain position, or I would want to have achieved, you know, this kind of quality work, or, you know, upgrade myself with a course. Which, you know, let's say you want to do an MBA, you know, and you're already working and you want to do an MBA or a particular course that you want to upgrade to. And that will help you jump up a couple of levels to your dream role. Okay, so you set that goal for the next 3 years for yourself, or 1 year or 5 years, however long it will take you to achieve that. So that becomes your long term goal. It becomes your goal for 3 or 5 year perspective. And then your short-term goals start falling into place, you know, where you decide over the next 3 months, I'm going to enroll for this particular course. I'm going to start preparing for the entrance, you know, exam or interview that might come up my way to be a part of this course. I'm going to start building the finances towards the fees for this particular course that I intend to do. So goal setting becomes very, very important. But just general goals will not help you. Like, I want to be an executive MBA. That's not enough. You need to define and highlight a time frame for yourself. Okay, so if you say in the next 10 years, that might be too long drawn. So you could write to yourself saying, I want to enter into this course by the end of 2023. Okay, so you got to set those goals for yourself with a time frame in mind. So being very, very specific in your goal writing becomes crucial if you really want those goals to make a difference in your life.
That's very interesting, because having tangible goals for yourself, I mean, I've never practiced it before. For me, goal setting till now has only been for the teams or for the projects I'm working on. So it's a very interesting perspective.
It is, Kalyani. And, you know, with practice, you realize that once you have more specific goals for yourself, things do start falling in place. If you follow them seriously, your life will turn out to be what you aspire it to be, what you want from it. So something like health goals, right? Every year on 1st of January, we get excited. We join the gym. We promise ourselves that we are going to do really great for our health. We'll go to the gym, we'll do our walks, yoga, whatever, right? We'll take care of ourselves. And those plans kind of fizzle out very quickly for most people. So again, you know, setting long-term health goals. So you got to visualize how you want to see yourself when you are 70, 80, even 90, right?
you want to see yourself traveling, you know, having a very healthy, fit body and mind. Okay, so you got to set those long-term goals for yourself. So when your larger vision is in your mind and you write it down in a very specific manner and you visualize it, automatically the small things start falling into place. There will be times when you want to skip, right? You need to allow yourself those breaks as well from your goal. Don't be too rigid, but make sure that within short spans of time, you get back to what you've promised yourself. And the other thing I've realized is, you know, goals can be flexible. Okay, so today I might say to myself, I want to have this much amount of money in my bank account by the end of 2 years. And not just bank account, let's say financial, you know, investments, long-term investments. And at the end of 2 years, you realize you have enough. And then your goal can change. You can tell yourself that, look, I want to engage in this kind of a social work in the long term. For me, for example, I want to impact 50,000 women in this world to encourage them to follow their dreams. So your goals can shift.
Madhulika, just a doubt which I had about goal setting was how to keep at it. You know, I think that's the most difficult part. Like you said, it fizzles out. It drops out from your schedule. So how what would you suggest or what would you advise, people, parents on that?
You know, I think for me, what worked is writing your goals on a daily basis. So, you know, typically you get these gratitude, affirmation and goal setting books all combined together. So if you can try and use one of those, and if you reiterate your goals on a daily basis, okay, and in one of the sections or even on a plain piece of paper or notebook, start writing what you're achieving, celebrate your achievements. So when you start achieving what goals you have set for yourself, you start appreciating yourself more and you start believing that, yes, I can do this and I can follow this discipline. Okay. Make sure you're rewarding yourself as well. So keep the rewards easy in the beginning, but start making it a little more tough as you go along. So let's say when you initially set your goal, let's say 30 minutes or 45 minute workout every day. Okay. So once you achieve it for a week, reward yourself with something that you really enjoy. Okay. And then start pushing that 1 week to 1 month, 3 months, 6 months. Okay. Start getting a little tougher with yourself. And it's all about discipline at the end of the day, right? So there are amazing books written on, you know, daily disciplines and how daily disciplines are the secret to building yourself. So there's a lovely book known as Atomic Habits by James Clear. It's a very, very popular book globally. So pick up these kind of books and read. Read about how what the benefits of these kind of goal settings are and following your goals are. Once you start seeing the long-term benefits, I believe your will to drive yourself improves on its own. So you're the person who has to drive it, right? So try and get an accountant. So one more thing which kind of works is accountability partner. Okay, someone you take seriously, who you believe if that person nudges you or questions you on a regular basis in a positive way, you feel inspired. Okay, so try and get one or two accountability partners. Another way of really doing it very well is announce it publicly. Announce it publicly. Like,
if you have that puts pressure on yourself.
Absolutely. Yeah. And you want to be authentic to that, right? You don't want to be that person who announces something publicly and doesn't want to follow through.
Follow it, yeah.
So, but these are external things. I think the main thing is driving yourself internally, and that's the best way to drive yourself rather than using external tactics is what I believe.
Right.
So that's one thing. The other step which also helps is manifestation. Now, see, there is no scientific proof that all these things work, right? But they work on your mind, on your mindset. Manifest, affirm on a daily basis. When you feel you're not enough, you're juggling between several roles, you always feel you're short of something. And this happens to all of us, right? We might often feel that we're short of something. We're not doing enough. Affirm. I am a great mother. I am a great father. I have a very happy family. We are growing well together. So suppose, you know, in your family, sometimes there are disbalances. Okay. So I have a great relationship with this person and things are working themselves out. Okay, so great affirmations. I'm doing fantastic in my career. Something like that. So whatever you aspire for, you affirm those. You manifest for the best possible positive life. And these things work on your mind and you grow positively rather than focusing on the negatives in your life. You're focusing on the positives. So this brings a growth in your career. This brings a balance in your family and happiness in your family. And your own attitude towards the various stakeholders that you deal with changes magically. This is something I have gained from over the last few years a lot. So people come and ask me, how do you manage to stay so positive? You have so many things to do. You are a mentor. You are a sales leader. You have kids to deal with. You have a husband, right? You have to balance all of that out. And plus, you look after your own well-being as well, right? So people ask me, how do you find time to do yoga? How do you, you know, find time to do journaling and meditation and things like that? So when you manifest, all the priorities fall into place is what I have observed. So I would urge all of you parents out there to take some time for your own self, discover yourself, manifest, affirm, stay positive, and you see life will shift, you know, to greatness. So be a role model in all aspects.
Yes. Thank you for, you know, sharing everything, the steps like manifesting, goal setting, and explaining that in so much detail. Because we all have heard these words everywhere. I'm sure there are a lot of mothers or parents who don't know how to start. What does that exactly mean? What does it mean to affirm? I have made some personal notes. I'm sure people are going to listen to this and going to take away a lot of things. We really had a wonderful conversation and we really feel inspired talking to you.
Thank you so much, Madhulika, for sharing your thoughts, your experiences, and helping with practices which everybody can start. And it's really wonderful to have you on board today.
Absolutely. We can think of a lot of things, but if we don't put those into actions, we get nowhere. Yeah. So that's very crucial.
The timeline aspect is also important there.
Absolutely.
We hope you enjoyed listening to this conversation as much as we did. We have a small request to make. Please give us a 5-star rating on the app you're listening to or write us a review. It really helps us and goes a long way. If you would like to know more about Partners in Upbringing, do visit our website www.partnersinupbringing.com. We also conduct parenting webinars with experts. And if you would like to organize one exclusively for your school or corporate, do drop us a message and we would be happy to help. Our next episode will be released on World Environment Day, June 5th. And we'll be in conversation with a very interesting couple, Shalini and Gaurav. They are the most green parents we've ever come across. They are raw vegans themselves and are even raising their twins in a similar manner, mainly as fruitarians. So it's a story not to be missed. So mark your calendars. Our next episode will be released on World Environment Day, June the 5th. Until then, goodbye, take care, and happy parenting.
Happy parenting.
The content of this podcast is the copyright of the makers of this podcast, Partners in Upbringing. The information, opinions, and recommendations presented in this podcast are for general information only, and any reliance on the information provided in this podcast is done at your own risk. This podcast should not be considered as professional advice unless stated. Please refer to https://www.partnersinupbringing.com for further details.